This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Going to be talking with Jeff Barth, County Commissioner of Sioux Falls. Now, you ran for Congress, I think.
Two years ago, I ran as a Democrat for the nomination for Congress. Matt Verlich beat me easily, but I felt I did my duty raising my hand and offering myself to the people. I'm not sure I would have liked the job that much, but I felt I could maybe do a little something there if I had the position.
Well, you had an interesting video that got a lot of hits back then. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I had an idea for a short 30-second type ad showing some of my experiences, you know, working at the phone company and serving in the military. And the media fellow, John Fixtel from Media One, basically took that idea and expanded it into a 5.5-minute video with incredible creativity. And I suspect he could do that same kind of stuff for any one of us, by the way. And so it did come out rather nice. I suspect that video living on the internet will last longer than my bones in the ground.
But it's still up there, people want to
watch. It is, yeah.
Now, what was that election? You lost that election, but you learn a lot when you lose.
That's for sure. And, you know, campaigning statewide was really a joy. There's no reason in my life that I would have had to drive from Pierre to Aberdeen, for example. You know, normally living in Sioux Falls here, I would drive to Pierre and home, and or drive to Aberdeen and home. Why the heck would I drive from Pierre to Aberdeen? Well, I got to see a lot more of the state, and despite my best efforts, I probably saw too many pronghorn and not enough voters.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about working for the, what, you know, you worked for Quest, the phone company.
Yep, Northwestern Bell, yep. U.S. West, Quest, and I've been, had 31 years of that, and, you know, I climbed poles and dug holes for many years, and then I went to the dark side and became a manager, and I was so happy when they let me go in many ways. It was kind of a shock, but one of my former co-workers used to say that the phone company pays us too much money and we can't get away and do what we're actually supposed to do. You know, when they're paying you 70 grand a year, you don't quit and write poetry. I think for me anyway, serving in the community in a political capacity has been a natural.
Well, you grew up in quite a few places.
Yes, my father was a diplomat for the U.S. government, and I lived in Europe and Africa. And I changed schools pretty darn often. I was in 5 grade schools and 5 high schools, and I went to college in Iowa and got a job at the phone company in Iowa and wound up here and moving here on January 7th, 1984. It'll be 30 years this coming January.
Why'd you move to Sioux Falls?
They were they had too many phone guys in Davenport, and they were looking for some here. There were telephone openings in other towns like Mitchell and Hayti and Valentine. And don't take it as an insult or anything, but I was worried about the bachelorettes in Hayti, and I thought there might be more opportunities here.
Well, tell us now, you got, what, 2 grandchildren?
I have 5 now.
Okay.
And they are, well, anybody that has grandchildren knows that once you have them, you don't need regular children, but they are a great joy, and you know, I have a job to do to try to make the world better for them when they grow up.
Now, what made you run for the county commissioner?
Well, I've always had an interest in politics, and I think that it has to do with living around the world like I did, living in South Africa during the height of apartheid and seeing that people had no say, none at all, in how things are run. And then you come over to our great country here, and you know, people do have a say, but too many of us let someone else handle it all. I mean, I can't believe, you know, going door to door, how many folks I run into that aren't even registered to vote. You know, if we all participated, we could fix all of these things. Unfortunately, it's not working that way.
Speaking with Jeff Barth, County Commissioner, you work for the city on quite a few things, and I think quite a few things well. I mean, the schools, the even the bookmobiles and the libraries and that type of thing, too. But when they had all that ice storm last April, I guess they called it Ice Storm Atlas was the weather name of it. Did you get your fair share of the return funds from FEMA?
You know, I'm sure we did. I don't know the exact number. Emergency management people got some money. I think our highway department got some money. I honestly was busy trying to saw tree branches and haul them to the drop-off sites that the city so nicely set up. I did get quite a few calls from people living in the rural area wondering what they could do with all of their trees. And, you know, that was a tough storm, and I don't believe we had any fatalities, and I've got to say that's a tremendous blessing. You know, I think they had 1,500 Americans die down in Katrina. So we think it was tough here. You know, when you have 1,500 Americans die, that's a big disaster.
What do you want to do in the county commission that you're in right now?
Well, honestly, a couple of things I'd like to do is to find a alternative to property tax for the county. That's basically our main source of funding. And yet, we are stretched to the limit taking care of criminal justice issues. Last year, we had a 28.5% increase in felony crime in Minnehaha County. 28.5% increase. You know, I'm talking about stabbings, rapes, meth labs, you know, you name it. And yet, our budget went up 3% or the rate of inflation, whichever is lower. I'm a strong advocate for finding a way to put a higher tax on alcohol, because so much of what goes on is involved with people being intoxicated. All you have to do is read the newspaper every day, and honestly, they don't have room to put the stuff in there. They don't have room to put all the stuff in there. 2 weeks ago over the weekend, we had 22 felonies. You hardly heard about it. You know, you get these quirky little crimes like an intoxicated individual urinating on some bottled water. That gets to be in the newspaper, but the brutal attack against somebody outside of a bar doesn't necessarily get in the paper.
Well, I quite often read the Omaha paper as I do news in the afternoon, and they almost have a stabbing or a murder every day.
Yes, we're getting there.
And, you know, that's only 3 hours from here.
Yep.
And it's not that far away. We're getting to be a bigger city. I think the Sioux Falls Police Department does a good job, but when you talk about the county, the Sheriff's Department has to spread themselves a little thin.
Well, that's right. I don't think that the majority of our problems, though, happen in Humboldt or Baltic. The majority of our problems are right here. But the county has the responsibility of prosecuting, defending, incarcerating, etc., on all of these things. And we have to take care of the indigent, and all of those costs come to us. We aren't all about building tennis courts and swimming pools. We're about the jail. We're about taking care of people who pass away without any resources. Just a couple of years ago, we spent over $200,000 on indigent burials. Who thinks about it?
Is there a cemetery for that? Or?
We do have a cemetery, but actually, if a family comes to us, we help them with a modest amount of funding. The ones that wind up in the cemetery are homeless, nameless John Does that we find on the railroad tracks or whatever.
Well, the sad part is about one out of three homeless are veterans.
That's so very true. And, you know, when you look at our situation in Sioux Falls and in Minnehaha County, it's one of the things that frustrates me is that, you know, we're all about the happy news of another Walmart or a new flashing traffic signal. But what are we doing about this crime? We are having a crime wave, and yet it's hardly caused a ripple in our community. And poverty, children in our school in Minnehaha County are becoming increasingly impoverished. Sioux Falls School District, it's now about 50% of the kids get free or reduced lunches because their family has nothing. You know, we have poverty, we have a crime wave, and we're all just happy about traffic signals flashing.
One thing the county used to have was a poor folks home. It was a farm, and you got to keep your self-esteem because you'd go out there and you'd work for your supper.
You know, and I don't know how many years it's been since that happened. And, you know, I think any time we can find an alternative, it might be worth looking at. Just the other day, there was a fellow here from New York who tragically lost his daughter in a car crash in Pickstown, where an extremely intoxicated fellow killed his 25-year-old daughter and another fellow 200 feet off the highway. dragged them 120 feet. Their bodies weren't even viewable. But, you know, he had an idea there about having people who are blowing the 24/7 test or wearing the ankle bracelet that detects alcohol consumption, maybe they could act as designated drivers. And when someone at a local establishment has had too much, they could call up and say, Jeff, come and get, we got two guys here need a ride. And, you know, I as a probationary or person or whatever would do that.
Well, that's a good idea. Speaking with Jeff Barth of the County Commission, now the County, Minnehaha County Commission meets how often?
We meet every Tuesday for our regular meetings. We have numerous other meetings that happen during the course of the year. Once a month we have a building committee meeting. There's a planning and zoning meeting. And each of us serves in different capacities, you know, with Metro Communications. You know, we all, a quorum is three of us. And there aren't that many meetings where three of us go to, but we have quite a few things that we need to attend. We'd sure love to have more folks come in the public. We meet Tuesdays at 9 a.m. down at the County Administration Building on the second floor.
Well, the city's been putting in quite a few regulations, it seems like. Does that affect the county, too?
Unfortunately, sometimes they do. And, you know, when we built two additional stories onto our courthouse, you know, they would come and inspect during construction, and what was okayed today, the inspection tomorrow says it must be replaced. And that certainly can be frustrating. That said, you know, with regulation, unfortunately, you know, like with OSHA regs, so often people die in stupid ways. And I think the regulations then try to react to the idiotic things people do. But, you know, you make a perfect rule on something and we just invent a better idiot and someone else dies in another way.
Well, you have a county library, a mobile type of thing in that works with the city, too, and schools that kind of work together. Sioux Falls and Brandon are almost, overlapping each other. Is there any plans in the future for any transportation for the outlying communities?
Not from us at this point. Again, we have zero extra cash. Mm-hmm. In fact, the state's attorney, the public defender, the public advocate, they're all asking for more resources. And we're looking at building an expansion on our jail of $10 to $15 million. And for those of you that live out in an area where there's, you know, fortunately a lack of crime, you've not been burglarized, your car hasn't been vandalized, you also are going to be a victim of crime because we're going to have to jack up your property taxes to pay to incarcerate these idiots. And meanwhile, with Senate Bill 70, and I have to say Governor Dugard has, I think, worked hard to try to find ways not to build a new state penitentiary, and I do believe he will work with us. But they're looking at taking people out of the penitentiary and basically releasing them into our community. So many families move here to be near their loved one who's serving time at the penitentiary, and you know, I just hope it's not a catch-and-release deal where, you know, they let 300 of them out and they go to the county jail. Our jail is full right now. And we used to rent out rooms to the feds and others, and it's unfortunately full of Minnehaha County people now.
A lot of the small towns really don't have their own police department.
No.
It's all the sheriff.
That's right. In Minnehaha County, only two towns have their own police force, and that's Brandon and Sioux Falls.
If you add up all the highways in the county, that's a lot of miles.
That's right. But, you know, a lot of these issues tend to be, you know, at the town bar or at some street dance situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to Minnehaha County, it's a large county. Like I say, if you have to plow the roads, that's a lot of miles.
Yep, we're over 800 square miles. I think we're 4/5 the size of the state of Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know what, 179,000 people. And our highway funds, which are basically dedicated, we do pretty well on highway funds. The city of Sioux Falls, everyone has wheel tax. And, you know, funding for the roads is not an issue for us. However, that money can't be used for anything else, for example, ambulance service or sheriff's patrol.
Well, Jeff, did you at one time read in the South Dakota Congress?
I did run for the legislature, but the voters in their wisdom never picked me.
Have you thought, I think at one time you were going to run for PUC?
You know, there are folks that are anxious for me to run for that, and I certainly see some issues there where, for example, service has declined, rates have skyrocketed, and I think there are some issues that the consumer is being left out, even as the utilities get to rake in more.
Well, it's my own personal opinion. Xcel Energy, I thought, should have a place in Sioux Falls where you can go pay your bill. They don't anywhere in South Dakota. And if you pay your bill with your credit card, you get charged $5 for that.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, I know along those lines that it used to be that many of the areas fed from two directions. So if someone knocked out a light pole coming from one direction, that the service feeding from the other direction could pick up the slack and keep you in operation. Now, you know, you might wait for hours with 200 employees sitting idly at their desks, hoping for the pop machine to come back on.
How much time do you have left on your term as county commissioner?
I'll be running for something next year. A year from right now, I'll probably know whether I've been reelected to a county position or perhaps some other job. I have thought of other positions. The PUC is certainly one of them, but even a city job might tempt me.
Does that indicate maybe running for mayor?
I've been thinking about it, and so far I've not been able to find a sugar daddy to fund that. It appears that it's going to be an expensive race. I think that the powers that be are fairly happy with the incumbent, and certainly they're going to support him with their own money. And I think, in many ways, the mayor's done a good job. I sometimes feel that his enthusiasm is beyond what's reasonable.
Well, there's a lot of checks and balances. Do you feel that the city government that we have right now is maybe weighted a little more towards the developers than the single?
Well, I think that's been the case for a long time. I think, Gary Hansen was a realtor, and then we had Mayor Munson, a banker, and now we have another banker. I think, the developers generally do get what they want, and meanwhile, regular citizens are served, but it seems like there are some that are served a little more than others. Let me just give one example on that. You know, here we have $40 million in federal funds being spent to clear the railroad yards out of downtown. They're expecting to gain 10 acres. Now, if you're a local developer, are you going to pay $4 million an acre? I don't think so. So in some sense, somebody's going to be getting those properties. Maybe they'll use all of them for surface parking, but somebody's going to get a $10 million acre for somewhat less than that, and I suspect they'll be able to make money with it, but it's not going to be the people currently making minimum wage in too many of our businesses in Sioux Falls.
Well, Jeff, are you a full-time person? Are you retired? Or?
You know, the phone company got rid of me. I did retire, but only because my boss walked in and said, Jeff, you're retiring today, to my surprise. And I was out of there in short order.
But you'd worked for him for 30 years.
31 years, yeah. And I get a nice little pension, and I don't need to work for money. But I do enjoy this. I do feel like I'm able to make a contribution. And honestly, I sort of feel like an umpire in many ways where, I don't call it a ball and strike depending on if it's Derek Jeter at bat or someone else. I don't call it that way because I'm at Yankee Stadium or because the Gamblers have paid me or because I don't even care if Major League Baseball fires me. I'm going to call it the way I see it. And I could be wrong. I might, I do wear glasses, and I might be wrong, but I'm going to call it correctly from my heart. And the day I don't do that, I hope everyone gets rid of me.
If you were to run for mayor, what would be the things that you would want to accomplish about Sioux Falls?
Well, I'd sure like to bring in some better jobs. You know, you look at the Aeros Data Center, obviously that's not in Sioux Falls, but people out there are making, some of them, you know, in excess of $100,000 a year. They're scientists, they're, you know, many of them are foreign. You know, there's a certain joy that the current administration has shown for bringing in minimum wage jobs at giant retailers. You know, some of those workers are going to be foreigners. Well, I'd rather have people coming here to make 100 grand a year than people coming here to make 15 grand a year.
A lot of people have to, well, they, what was it we had on the program a couple of weeks ago, a study that said you have to make $15 an hour.
That's right.
To really get ahead in Sioux Falls.
Yep.
And so many are making 9, 10,
eight.
And they're stretching, you know, payday to payday, but that $15 is hard to come by.
That's right. And, you know, as the county winds up in many cases taking care of those folks with paying their rent, paying their utilities, paying their medical bills, you know, this Obamacare thing certainly isn't going very well, but the fact is, we are paying for those medical costs for the indigent right now. And we're doing it in a very expensive way where they go to the emergency room. That's one of the things with our Safe Home project, where we have people that have lived under a bridge for too many years now in a sort of a, almost a hospice sheltered situation. You know, they used to be taken to the by ambulance to the hospitals regularly. And in our detox, along those lines, in our detox, if you blow more than a 0.4 on the blood alcohol, they take you to the emergency room. And just recently, we had a person blow a 0.7, almost 10 times the legal limit.
It's almost poison.
Well, I think it would kill many people. In one 12-hour period, they made 6 runs for people blowing more than a 0.4.
Well, the county and the city work together, I think, on detox, don't they?
The city does help support our detox, and so does the state. We get some money from that. But the county gets no money directly from the sale of alcohol. We do have some rural licenses for beer and alcohol, but, you know, a renewal on an alcohol license is only $1,500, and and if you buy a new license, and we have some for sale for listeners out there that want to go into the liquor business, you could open a club on the edge of Sioux Falls outside the city limits, get a county license that'll only cost you a couple $100,000.
And then wait for the city to grow up to you.
That's right, and you would then get grandfathered in. You'd get to keep it as opposed to being on the city waiting list.
In the city, I think it ends up costing $100,000, doesn't it?
I think it's $200,000 at this point.
Yeah, it keeps going up. Speaking with Jeff Barth of the County Commission, what do you recommend to young people out there if they want to get involved? We have one guy that's 23 years old that's putting his hat in for the mayor's race. Getting the young people involved is important, isn't it?
Absolutely, and we need new ideas, and we need people that want to become informed on the issues. I can honestly say that I know a lot more now than I did when I was first elected, and I worked hard before I was first elected to learn from the folks that were in the job before me. You know, I learned from Mike O'Connor and from Jim Zweep and Carol Tweet and Bob Colby, mm-hmm. and still there was a lot to learn once I actually was looking at the bills and seeing what the resources were that we could apply to those issues.
Well, the city's going to lose some transportation funds, a couple $1 million, you know, they've been getting from the federal government. Is the county facing some of those cutbacks, too? Are you going to be losing some funds that you've been getting?
Well, we do think that we will be losing some monies in our emergency management area. And obviously, every grant is under duress at this point. So many of the non-governmental organizations that we need to work with depend on federal money in some way or another, and we no longer have the money to give them what they need, you know, whether it's the Glory House or the Compass Center or Interlake Community Action or South Dakota Achieve, Dakota Abilities. All of these organizations do stuff which if they didn't exist, we would have to hire someone to do. Thank goodness that they're here to do it, because they can do it better than government, honestly. But we don't have the money to support them the way we used to. Along those lines, in 1990, criminal justice took up 30% of our budget. It now takes up 55% of our budget.
Well, you're saying the budget is balanced though right now.
Oh, yeah, we balance our budget.
But you can see where there's a big need, especially with increased crime.
With increased crime and with the threat of, say, a deluge of former prisoners from the penitentiary being released into our community.
Well, people who are addicted to crack, for instance, rehab for that is a lot more than someone addicted to alcohol.
Well, yes. Last year, from 2011 to 2012, it's not crack, but we went from 7 to 30 meth labs. From 7 to 30 meth labs. And again, felony crime went from 1,870 to 2,402. And how are we supposed to cope with that? We could probably lay off some police officers and sheriff's deputies and blind ourselves to where the problems are. But, you know, that's not the way responsible people can, act. We need more resources, and we have to go after the reasons that crime happens. Commissioner Kelly has been talking about that. And, you know, we don't necessarily need helicopters and bigger caliber guns, but we need better jobs. We need to work on poverty. We need to work on finding the new residents to our community and trying to acclimate them to the culture that we've valued here in Sioux Falls over these many decades. The home hope for our children, where everyone is happy to be here with their kids and where every street is safe to walk on. That's what we need.
What are some of the things that you're proud of as serving as a Minnehaha County Commissioner you've done so far?
Oh, you know, I'm pretty happy with things that we did with the Safe Home Project. I'm happy with the expansion we did at the courthouse. I'm actually happy when we opted out for additional funds to meet some of these other expenses. I think the fact that the citizens have allowed us to do these things showed that, you know, we were communicating with them enough and upfront with them enough that they were going to allow us to do that. I think something that's been a pet issue of mine for some years now is the cost of alcohol in our community. So many of our crimes, so much of our jail is full of people that were intoxicated on alcohol. I think your property taxes, my property taxes, are currently subsidizing the overuse of that product in our community, and I'd like us to tax them and not my house. My house does not drink and drive, but my house is paying for it.
Well, I've got a minute left, Jeff. I think one good example of a good accomplishment is the Sioux Empire Fair over the last couple of years.
Well, the Sioux Empire Fair has bounced back after that horrible embezzlement, and that was a tough time for us. It certainly was a eye-opener when we discovered the problem. Certainly people have said to me, well, why didn't you find it sooner? But I promise you right now there are embezzlements going on all around Sioux Falls, and if someone would just call me and let me know which ones they are, we'll put a stop to them.
All right. Well, Jeff, as somebody wants to come to the county commission, they can come and voice their concerns?
That's right. We have an opportunity for public comment, and unfortunately too many people come just when their own ox is getting gored. Come on down, give us a piece of your mind. It's 9 o'clock on Tuesday mornings, and just so you know, we're going to be meeting on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve both.
You are?
Yep. Well, on 9 in the morning.
9 in the morning, okay. Well, Jeff, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they contact you?
Well, my email at the county is jbarth, B-A-R-T-H, at minnehahacounty.org. But my cell phone number is 605-212-2063. And I don't get very many calls. I don't mind getting calls. Don't call me at 2 a.m. after you get angry about my concerns with alcohol.
Well, like I say, there's yin and yang to everything.
That's right.
And a lot of good ideas there, and want to thank you for answering the phone and coming down to be with us on Forum.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.